Let's go over to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 8. That's the first book in the Bible there, Charles Howard. That first one there. Not it ain't the maps or none of the topical index or anything like that. It's that first book, Genesis. Okay. Chapter 8. See, I can rib him a little bit because we're not on TV. So when he's out there kind of smarting off or whatever, I can kind of hit him, okay? All right, verse 22. Look at this. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now look at that. Here's God letting us know, if you see it, it says seed time and harvest. Well, what seasons are that? Well, seed time is springtime, right? Isn't that the time that you plant seed, right? Well, harvest time, we know that's in the fall, right? And notice then, he says seed time and harvest, spring and fall. Then he says cold and heat, but he goes ahead and says summer and winter. And then he says day and night. So what God wants us to get here is that there are seasons to be dealt with. Now, here's the thing that I want to talk about tonight is this, is that not only are there natural seasons, but there's spiritual seasons. And we need to be able to discern the difference between seasons even in our spiritual life. Amen. Jesus actually, he kind of upbraided them there because they were asking him about different things. He said, you can look at the weather. He said, you can look at the sky. When you see that it's lowering, a red and lowering, he said, that'll be foul weather. And he's talking about the weather. He says, you can do these kind of things, but why is it you can't discern the signs of the times? Or you could say it like this, the seasons of the times. You see, we need to understand and know that in our lives, even though I know we're in the fall season in the natural, you have to look and see what is the season that your life is in right now. Sometimes you're going through a season and you're wondering what's going on, but you have to understand seasons pass. Just like we go from summer into fall, in the spiritual realm, we understand that seasons pass in our life too. We move along. But I want us to understand that there are, again, natural, and then there are those that are spiritual. Now, I'll not take a long time tonight because I want to just touch on this some, but I'll give you an example. Do you remember when Jesus was there going to Jerusalem back and forth, and he came upon the fig tree? Anybody remember the story? I would read it, but I'm just going to kind of just paraphrase. It's all right, we'll just kind of do it that way tonight. The Bible says he's coming back, he's headed back to Jerusalem, and he sees a fig tree there. He's hungry, and he sees a fig tree. And he goes up to the fig tree, and he's looking to get figs. And the Bible says, but it wasn't the time for the fig tree. In other words, it wasn't in season. It wasn't the season for it to have figs. Now, of course, we know the rest of the story. The Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree and said, there's not going to be any fruit growing you from now on. And, of course, it withered from the roots and it died out. But what I want you to see there is that here is a tree and it wasn't its time. It wasn't its season. So that would be a natural season that we could think about, the time that, we have apples, the time that fruit comes around. That would be natural seasons, but this was not a natural season for the fig tree. Now, by saying that, let me say this. You cannot judge a spiritual season in the natural. Okay? I want to show you something here. You can't judge a spiritual season in the natural. The Lord Jesus is there, and he's talking with some disciples there, and he says, say ye not that there's 4 months before harvest. Anybody remember the story? He telling them. And you can look at some of the other translations, and some of them say, don't you all have a saying that it's 4 months from spring to harvest? But he says, don't say that it's 4 months and then the harvest. He says, lift up your eyes, the fields are already ripe for harvest. Now, in the natural, It apparently must have been springtime. But in the spirit realm, Jesus said that there's a harvest ready to be harvested. You see, and that's why it's so important for you and I to be able to see what's going on in the spirit realm so we understand the seasons that we're in right now. When we look around and see things that are going on in the world, you have to see what season it is. It's time for the church to rise up and begin to do what they do best, and that's pray. It's a time for the church. It's a season of the church praying and believing God for wickedness to go out of our government and for righteousness to be put in. For those that are against God to be put out and those that will do what God says to be put in. You know, you can get mad about that if you want to, but the truth is the truth. We have to be, as Christians, we have to want people in government, in leadership, that do what the Word of God says, not do what men want to do. Amen. And it's tough because, you know, I realize that, you know, politics is a big thing, and but this is not about politics. This is about having the right leadership in our country to lead us toward God, not away from God. To lead us toward morality, not lead us toward immorality. To lead us toward righteousness, not evil and unrighteousness, you see. And the Bible is very plain when it says that when the wicked are in authority. Thank you, Brother Rick. That was caught up. I couldn't get it out. When they're in authority, that the people mourn. Well, you know, that's a fact. But it says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice and they're glad. You see, why is that? Well, because, see, God can, when righteousness is in authority, then God can bless His country, His earth, His people, because the people that are in authority will do what He wants them to do. See? And so you have to be able to see seasons, and I'm going to move on and talk about us, but I just felt like it'd be necessary, and we're not on TV, and so it's not, people can't make it out of a big political thing. But here's the thing, church, it's not about it's not about politics. Please don't, you know, I have my opinions on things. And Brother Rick and I had a conversation, when I said I'm not for Trump, I'm not for Kamala, I'm for, you know, righteousness, I'm for babies living their lives, I'm against homosexuality and all that kind of thing, you know, I'm for what the Word says. Now, with that, you have to take a personality. Whether you like that personality or not, because one personality stands for one thing, another personality stands for another thing, and you have to find the personality that was going to most closely do what God says do. And you say, well, now, you know, but they're all heathen. It's a lesser of two evils. It might be. It might be. I'm not going to argue with you on that point. But when I look at the issues that the Word of God has, which is abortion. Come on now. Don't get mad at me about that, because you know abortion is not right. Killing babies. And now, you know, even, and you know, there was some that even said, we'll let the baby be born while the mother's trying to decide what to do with it and keep it comfortable until then. That's murder, because that's born. You know, but it's murder either way, because from the time of conception, it's life. You know, and it's a life that God created. So now you can get mad at me about it, but I cannot rightfully support somebody that supports abortion. I can't. Why? Not because of any political party. That's not what I'm saying. I don't care who the politics are. Whoever will be against abortion, I'll be for. Come on. Whoever will be against homosexuality and that immorality and transsexual and trans this and trans that, whoever will be against that, I'll be for. But you see, the church has got to be in this season. We've got to be praying that the right things happen. We need to be praying that the enemy's plots are thwarted, that they're stopped. And that God's plan comes to pass. Don't matter who it is. But I think God is going to, I think God's going to bring His word to pass, and we have to understand that. Now, you can look at my notes online if you want to. None of this ain't in it. But it's just something on my heart. I'm your pastor, and this is a perfect opportunity for me to help you. Because people get in this, well, I don't know, you know, I mean, don't listen to what people say. I don't care which side you're listening to. Don't listen to what they're saying. Look at what they've been doing. Come on now. I told you all the little joke about, what was it, the mouse wanting to ride across on the, or the snake wanting to ride across the river on the back of a duck or something. Remember that? What was this? Was it a duck or whatever? I don't remember what. Well, I don't remember the story now, but I do remember the story. Okay. He wanted to ride across the river to get over to the other side. It was on a frog. I'm sorry. It was the frog. Remember? Told the frog, he said, let me ride on your back. And it was a scorpion. I'll get it right after a while. The scorpion wanted to ride across the river on the back of the frog. And the frog said, no, I'm not stupid. You'll sting me and then I'll die. And the scorpion said, well, if I stung you while we're trying to get across the river, I'd die too. And the frog said, well, okay then, I'll ride you across. About a halfway across the river, the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog said, you stupid thing, you've just killed us both. He said, I'm a scorpion. It's what I do. It's what I've always done. Scorpions are scorpions. They do what they do. You look at somebody, what they do, and that's how you judge what they will do. Now, can somebody change? Absolutely, every one of us has been changed at one time or another. But the only way you have a miraculous change and turn around is if you accept Jesus Christ into your life. And then, how many knows there's still struggle with the old past life? So we're in this season now that we need to be praying very earnestly, because the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, right? We need to be praying. We need to understand and see what season we're in. And here's the thing. It's your duty as a child of God to help others. Because a lot of people just don't know. They are spiritually blind to the things that are going on. And it's up to you that are spiritually woke. They talk about being woke. Yeah. We need to be woke. We need to be awake to righteousness. Right? To what's going on. And we need to help explain to other people, this is what's going on. Amen. Again, I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to help us see that we want to keep our country on a track toward God and not away from God. And if you can't admit that the country's been on a track away from God for a while now. Come on, folks. At one time, to talk about homosexuality was kind of a taboo. And now they're openly in your face trying to tell you that you're the person that's wrong because of who they want to sleep. I don't care who they sleep with. Ain't none of my business. But when you start trying to pass laws, When you start trying to tell me that I have to accept it because that's just the way it is, now you're meddling with me. Now you're messing with me. Okay? That's not what God wants. And I am a God man. I want what God wants. Whatever God says, that's what I want. Amen. And that's the way every Christian should be. Every born again. It's not because I'm pastor. It's just because I'm a believer. And we ought to be looking at the Word of God and seeing what's right and what's wrong. You can't just go vote for somebody just because you like them. You have to look and see what do they stand for, and what's been their past history of what they've stood for. Because now, come on now. All politicians, and don't get mad at me if you're a politician in here, but most politicians I know will tell you everything you want to hear to get you to vote for them. Come on, because that's kind of what they do, you know. And I know that there's some Christians in office, but I've also seen those that started out as Christians not end up so Christian-like. and you pray for them, and hopefully that they'll maintain Christian standards. But you've got to understand, see, politics is a different creature. I know a particular gentleman that's in politics, and he said it's a whole other, when you get in there, there's always these bargainings that are going on. I'll do this for you so you can get what you want, but when I get ready to get something I want, you've got to be there for me. And that's why after a while, these career politicians, they're in so deep that you can't never tell what they're going to do next. So you have to look and see what have they done and go that way. Be in a season now of just prayer. Be praying for righteousness, that the right things are done, that God's will be prevailing. Because again, even though we know God's will is to have everything, the righteous in authority, you know, you can override the will of God just by voting for the wrong people. So you have to be praying. Be much in prayer. Do what the Word says and you can't go wrong. It's a season of that kind of time. Now, and it's not just the natural season that's happening in the world, but it's a spiritual thing, folks. This thing goes so much deeper into the spirit realm than you could ever believe. Amen. See, because we talk about abortion and we just see them killing babies, but you've got to understand, you can trace it all the way back to Baal worship. You see, from the Word of God. And so it's nothing other than modernized Baal worship, sacrificing babies to a false god. Amen. You see? And you say, well, you know, why are people doing that? Because people do what they want to do. They have sex outside of marriage a lot of times. And then they decide, I made a mistake. And that mistake is that baby. And they think that they're going to get rid of the mistake. But the truth is, what that is now is a life. Now, see, and I know everybody's screaming, it's my body, my choice. Once that baby is conceived in that body, you're a womb. You're an incubator. Come on now. See, you've got to understand that. There's two bodies in there. That's right. You know. So you can look at it however you want to. And then besides that, the same ones hollering, it's my body, my choice, was the one said, if you don't take the jab, you fard. You don't take the jab, we're going to ostracize you. We're going to mark you. You have church during COVID, we're going to come after you. Kind of, I mean, come on, look. Be honest with me. That's the kind of things that are going on. That's why it's important to know seasons. Now, let's talk about in our own life. Because, you see, there are seasons, again, in our personal lives. And Jesus went through seasons. If you remember, when they had the wedding in Cana there in Mark chapter 2, am I right? Let me look. I believe it's Mark chapter 2. I want to make sure I'm right. John chapter 2, I'm sorry. John chapter 2, because John chapter 3 is the woman. Well, John chapter 2, there's a wedding in Cana. The disciples are invited. Jesus comes. And Jesus' mother Mary comes up and says, they don't have any wine. Well, you know, we're having a party. We've got the governor here. We don't have any wine. Now, I don't know if the wine had been drunk up or if they just didn't have any. But Jesus looks at her and says, you know, what's that to me? My time's not yet come. You see what's happening here? Mary's trying to get Jesus to do something out of season. He said, my season's not come. My time's not come. It's not time for me to be revealed yet. And then Mary walks away and just tells the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Now get this. He tells them to take water and fill the pots. And then once he has them fill the pots with water, these people know they're filling the pots with water. They're doing it. They know they're doing it. And then he says, now draw out and give it to the governor of the feast. Now you have to know that the guy that's getting ready to give that to the governor of the feast has to be totally tore up. Because he's got to be taking, and he's thinking, I'm taking water, and the governor of feast thinks it's wine. And he takes him to him. The governor drinks it, and he says, whoa. Most people, they pull out the old stuff, the cheap stuff first. Once they get everybody drunk on the cheap stuff, then they pull out some good stuff. But you brought out the good stuff right off the bat. And the Bible says the only ones that knew it were Jesus and those that filled up the water pot. You know why? Because it wasn't time for him to be revealed. It wasn't his season. They knew it, but it was only them. Everybody else just thought that they bought good wine for the wedding. You see, that was a season. And sometimes you're going through a season, and maybe it's not one of those. Have you ever noticed that? The good seasons, spring, summer, and fall. Have you ever noticed that they seem like they go faster, all three of them goes faster than just winter? It seems that way, right? I mean, you know, here we are. We're on the precipice of winter. And it just seems like yesterday that we had spring. That's because that's the seasons we enjoy. We can go through times and we can do things and, you know, we're busy and we're able to get out and this. But then winter comes. And I know there's some of you folks that like winter. I don't know what's wrong with you, but I know that some of you do. You know, I don't understand. I still don't understand. Now, when we were younger, we liked the snow so we could play in the snow. But still, you know, we couldn't wait for it to get spring and summer and whatever, you know. You know, we'll tarry through. But winter, it just seems like it just drags on. You know. Well, you see, that's the same way in the spirit realm. When things are going good and it's a season of good, it is one of those seed time harvest type things. You know, God's blessing and things are going good. Seems like, man, that just flies by. But man, when you get in one of those winter seasons, one of those tough seasons when it just, it seems like that's slow. And so we have to learn, though, how to navigate even the winter season the way we navigate the rest of the season. And I'm talking about in the spirit realm now, not just the natural realm, you know. And here's the thing. See, when seasons come, when winter comes, what do you do? You prepare for it, right? Before winter gets here, most people will make sure their tires are good on their vehicle. Does anybody else do that? I mean, I'll try sometimes need some tires, and I'll try to make it through the summer. I'll think, well, these will last me through the summertime. You have to be careful when it rains. It could hydroplane or whatever. But I'm going to wait till it gets a little closer to the wintertime so I'll have real good tread if it snows. Okay? So you kind of make preparations for that. You make sure that you've got a source of heat for the wintertime. There's, you know, what am I here at the church a lot of times? We make sure that we've got, Brother Damon brought us some more, but we've got that calcium chloride stuff. We keep it out in the garage. So if ice gets on the steps, Brother Chuck, Wendy, and them, those guys will make sure that snow's melted off because they'll clean the parking lots, you know, Charles and all of them. You know, they prepare for that. Charles, every late fall, he and Brother D a lot of times, or whoever helps him, they'll go ahead and put the snow blade on the truck. What are they doing? They're preparing for the season ahead. Now, that's in the natural. In the spirit realm, you and I have to prepare for winter seasons because they're going to come. And you can think that it's not going to come if you want to. And I know that, but I'm believing God. I stand it. Even faith people go through things. Jesus said, okay, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So even though we do go through things, if we're prepared, it's not so bad. Come on. Well, you say, well, how in the world do you prepare for a season in the spirit realm? Number one, you stay prayed up. You keep yourself built up in prayer. You keep yourself built up praying in the Holy Ghost, according to Jude. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. See, you have yourself ready. You're putting on new tires. Come on. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. I just throwed a set of chains in the back of the truck when I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. Come on now. I'm equipping myself for the season because I know that sooner or later the enemy is going to attack. Why? Because he hates me. Why does he hate me? Because I love God. You're an enemy to Satan. You're the other team. But we're on the winning team, praise God. But you see, you pray, you get into the Word of God and know the Word of God. Listen, it's not just for preachers to know the Word of God. It's for every born-again believer to know the Word so that they can use the Word when a season of winter does come. And when that season of winter comes, you're ready now. I've got my tires. I've got my chains. I've got my salt. I've got everything that I need. I got a nice warm coat on because I just clothed myself in the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. And I know no matter what the enemy throws at me, I'm going to be all right. Now, it may be a slow cold season and I may have to just stand. But having done all to stand, stand there for. And you know on the other side you're coming out. Because you do have that shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. So I want us to just understand that we do go through seasons and we can't quit just because we're going through a season we don't like. And sometimes we go through those seasons that we don't like. But you can't quit. You just keep persevering. You just keep pushing on. James tells us, remember over in the book of James, James chapter 1. He says, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Well, let me just read it to you. That'd be the best thing for us to do. Let's just read. Go with me to James chapter 1 there. Let's just read it real quick. I'll not keep you too much longer. James chapter 1. Verse 2 here, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Well, why in the world, James, will we count it all joy? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. That word perfect there means mature. And it says, complete and entire. Wanting nothing, lacking nothing. You see, when I count it all joy, understand this, that standing strong through a bad season, it's going to bring a harvest to you. Amen. You're going to see a reward. Notice here that he says that you'll be lacking nothing, wanting nothing. You'll be perfectly entire. Why? Because I've went through this thing. I've stood through this thing. I've trusted God. And that's going to help build my faith. And when I get on the other side, I can say I'm blessed. I am blessed because God's been with me through this whole thing. So here's the thing. I'll just close with this. You're going to go through seasons. When you go through the bad seasons, even when you go through the good seasons, you need to be praising God. You know, thank God for that. I don't know about you, but I love spring. I love summer. And I love fall. I just hate because I know winter's following fall. Right? Anybody else that kind of that way too, see? You know, we dread that season. But if we'll be just counted all joy and we'll be just as joyful and we'll be just as excited about winter as we are the rest of the seasons, then I'm going to tell you it's going to pass a lot faster. Amen. One thing that's happened with us guys a little bit, and it is kind of strange, you know, and we love to fish, some of us do. And one of the things that's happened for us for wintertime, because if you were a fisherman, once it got so cold in the wintertime, your fishing's pretty well out. You know, so you're sitting there and you're wanting to go fishing and you're watching fishing shows and we found a little secret. We found a little place down in Tennessee that puts out warm water. And so the river water is 46 degrees. But that water that factory's putting out is 64 degrees. Guess where the fish that want to get warm go to? Just like us. They head for the warm water when it's cold. And we've learned this, and so we can go all winter long down there now. And when we can get up there, because it's kind of a treacherous journey up, but we'll take our chances and try to get up there. But we get up there, and we can get to catch fish all winter long. Now, the only problem we do have is it's just a little chilly, a boat ride at 17 degrees. You know, I mean, Chuck puts on a full face motorcycle helmet. I've got one of those face shields that I put on. Because I'm telling you, at 30 miles an hour, 17 degrees is really, really cold on the face. And Scotty just covers up head and ears. And he don't even watch where we're going. If we wreck, he's just wrecked. Because he puts his head under all the cover and he's, you know. But I'm just saying this because we found something that we could be happy about in the natural, it makes winter a lot faster. Matter of fact, we're actually looking forward to the wintertime fishing because we seem like we did better down there in the wintertime than we did in the summertime. Catching fish. Okay. What about in the spirit realm when we're going through that season of winter? What if we just start thinking about all the things God's done for us and start getting happy about that? How God has blessed us. And man, what a joy it is to know that God's with me even though I am going through something. It may be a little cold and whatever, but weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I may be going through it right now, but man, spring is just on the other side. And it's a change of seasons. And now it's time now for the seed to be planted again, to get ready to grow through the summertime and harvest in the fall. See, it's a continual circle in the natural and in the spirit realm. Understand what season you're going through, and you'll be able to maximize that season spiritually in your life. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. I'll hush.